Sounds of falling in love with Jesus. That's the best thing that we could ever do. Welcome to Life Changing Ministry. His word is designed to change you. And his word is designed to help you see if you are in love with Jesus. And if you're not in love with Jesus, how to get in love with Jesus. Because that's the best thing that we can ever do. Because his love can be with us now and for eternity. He said he has a place prepared for us. I can imagine what it's like. A mansion in his Father's house. And I'm going to go there one day. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this day, another day, another opportunity to share into your word. And God, we thank you. We welcome the Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Ghost. We welcome your presence in this place. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for those that are here. We pray that ears are anointed to hear your words and heart are to receive it, and that your word will enter in and make a mark that cannot be erased. And God, I pray, Lord, as I stand before you today, that as none of me and all of you think through my mind and speak to my vocal cords, I pray the revelation of the flow freely unhindered by any satanic and demonic forces. God, we give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. Be magnified and be glorified in this place. Use me for your glory, Lord. Let your anointing touch everyone, Lord. Touch every heart. Let them make up their mind that they will love Jesus more when they leave this place than when they came in. Because falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that we could ever do. We're going to cover something today. And it's very important. There's a spirit of fear that's being released out there. And we got to remember what God's words said. And we got to stand on what God's words said. And it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But look how many people, I say they are believers, they are in fear. They are so much in fear that they won't even come to the house of worship when God says, forsake not the assembly of yourself one with another. But they're in fear of man and they'll go to work. Because they're in fear of what man is going to do. Fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. So the thing is, if you have a spirit of fear, it's not from the true and the living God. Amen? You say the God of this world has blinded their mind. That's Satan, but they believe a lie. So fear does not come from the true and the living God. It comes from another God. Not the God that's the Father of Jesus. He is the true and the living God. He's the only wise God. He don't give you a spirit of fear. Remember that. Don't let fear in. Fear comes in, faith goes. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. And it says in Romans, the 3:3-4, let every man be a liar, and let who be true? Let God be true. So when these men come bringing all these different things about this and that, hey, let that man be a liar. Don't believe what he says. Believe what God says. The Bible says, whose report shall he believe? We shall believe the report of who? Who's man? God made man. That's why I say don't fear him who can destroy the body. Fear him who can destroy the body and soul and hell. Who is man that you can fear? Man, fear God. Do what he says. Respect God. People show more man respect than respect God. My Lord. But we that believe, we fear God. Amen? Because God takes care of us. The Bible tells a host of angels and kept on those that fear the Lord and deliver them. Angels watching over you when you fear God. It also says, Exodus 15:26, get this in your spirit. Got to make sure you believe in right. Right believing brings God's word true in your life. Wrong believing brings wrong result. We got to believe what God's word says. You got to stand on what God's word says. You got to believe it no matter what people say. You stand on what God's word says. Like it was mentioned earlier this morning, he watches over his word to perform it. God going to make sure his word does not return void. Exodus 15:26. Let me find just a minute here. Because see, it's time over to make up your mind who you're going to believe in. I am going to believe in the God of Jesus. Because we can't get to God if we go through Jesus. You got, it's time to believe. Prayer time is over. And those that believe will reap all the benefits of what the Bible says. But you got to believe. All things are possible if you only believe. Now what that means, if you believe a lie is going to happen. You believe the truth is going to happen. I choose to believe in the true and the living God. Amen? Now, let me find it real quick. Exodus 15:26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, thy God, people said, I don't hear his voice. Psalm 103, verse 20, his word is a voice. Listen to his voice. And would do what is right in his sight, and would give ear to his commandment, and keep all his statutes. He says, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptian, for I am the Lord that what? Healeth thee. So if we read God's word and hearken to God's word until we can hear his voice, as you continue to obey his word, then you begin to hear his voice. And do what is pleasing in his sight. He said, I will put, mean I will not allow the devil to put none of these diseases and sickness upon you. But if you're not, then he will allow that to happen and hope that it will bring you to him. It's not the will of God that anyone should perish. We all come to repentance. Repentance is very serious. So if I'm doing what God's word says, I read what his word says, and I ask him to help me to do it, and I do it, I do what is pleasing in his sight. He promised he will let none of these diseases and sickness come upon me, for I am the Lord thy God, the what? He is thee. We got to believe that. We've got to stand on that. Exodus 15:26. It's in 3 John 2. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in what? In health, as your soul prosper. And what I ask myself, Lord, am I your beloved? Do I love you enough, Lord? When Jesus got baptized, came up out of the water, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, Lord. I said, do I love you enough? Are you well pleased with how I'm living? Because he said, beloved, I mean, you really love him. Not just casual kind of love. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in what? In health, as you what? So prosper, as you keep growing in the Lord. That's why I keep spending time with the Lord. That's why I keep reading the word. That's why I go someplace where someone speaks the truth. Not a lie, speaks the truth. Because it is so important to hear the truth. It's so important to hear the truth. Now, and it says here, you love the Lord. We that love the Lord. Psalm 91, verse 9 and 10. No plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. You got to speak that. No plague shall come nigh your dwelling. You've got to stand on God's word these days. And not speak what man says, but speak what God says. Stand on it. So if something comes, go to God and say, Lord, why is this coming on me? Why is this plague on my dwelling? What am I doing that's not pleasing in your sight? Don't look at nobody else. Look at you, yourself. And I tell people this. Don't be so quick to run to the hospital. What the Bible says, if there be any sick amongst you, let them send for the elders of the church and let them pray the prayer of what? Faith. I want to say this to you. If that person has not gotten their healing, they can't pray for your healing. They got to have faith to get their own healing. They have to be a partaker. If they're sick, they can't pray for your healing because you don't believe in healing. Call somebody that's been healed. May not be able to go see him, but call him. Because see, he has faith. He got his healing. And when he prayed for you, he's praying in what? In faith. If they haven't gotten their healing, they can't pray for your healing. They've got to be the first partaker. Do that before you go to the hospital. Put God what? Put him first. Don't put the man first. Jeremiah 17:5. Cursed is the man that puts his trust in the arm of flesh. You run to the doctor. Oh, doctor, I'm sick. Oh, I'm sick. The doctor said, come on in here. I got something for you. Yeah, you sick, baby. Oh, you got this. You got that. Yeah, you got this. Yeah, doctor. Yeah, doctor. I'm going to give you some medicine. Yeah, doctor. But you didn't put God first. then you got to go through a process. But if you put him first, put him first. See, people say, you're always talking, Brother Mitchell. I put him first. I say this testimony. I remember I was down in Charleston. I fell off the roof on my head. All I had time to say was Jesus. My niece said, call the ambulance. Call this. I said, no, don't get up. I said, leave me alone. Leave me alone. I'm going home. She said, you can't drive. I said, I'm going home. Got in my car, drove about 35, 40 miles. Went home, took a hot shower. Called Terry. I said, Terry, pray. Don't get it, be alarmed. I fell off the roof of my head. Please pray for me. I said, I'm going to see the doctor tomorrow. Prayed for me. I went to the doctor the next day. Doctor says, you fell off the roof on your head? Think of your age. Get in a wheelchair. You ain't supposed to be walking. You're supposed to be crippled. But I put God first. He said, ain't nothing wrong with you. He said, what did you do? I said, when I saw I was going to hit the ground, I called on Jesus. He said, Jesus must have answered you. He did. I'm here today. Amen. I put him first. Put him first. Do what God's word says. You have what God's word. It's time out for us to keep running to man and running to man. Put God first. I'm not saying to go to the hospital. Don't get me wrong. But put God who? First. Believe his word first. It's time to believe God's word. Play time over. Now, no plague shall come down my dwelling if I'm living right. Psalm 103, verse 2 to 6. See, I'm understanding God's word. I choose to believe God. I choose, it's a choice, to believe God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalm 103. I want people to get this in their head. Watch what you're believing. Because you can have whatever you say. Don't say the wrong thing out of your mouth. It says, Psalm 103. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. What's the good thing? The good thing is God's word. That's a good thing. The Lord execute righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. God deal with, take care of everything for everybody that's oppressed. He deal with everybody that's oppressed when you put him first. He will deal with situation. He will get you out of that depression. He will deliver you. And he will give you a joy that money can't buy. What are we going to talk about today? What's the problem? What is the problem? We go to church, we give our life to the Lord, and just like me, I can talk about me. I didn't do that first. I didn't understand the importance of giving our life to the Lord first. But it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, that first gave themselves to the Lord. I go back and hit the message to him and hit. That first gave themselves to the Lord. It's not the will of God that anyone should perish, but that they all should come to what? Repentance. And God wants you to have a long life. You know what Jesus said? He said, I'm not praying for the Father to take you out of this world, but I'm praying to the Father for you to be delivered from what? Evil. When God changed you, God don't want you to die. He can't help Jesus in heaven. You can help somebody down here. See, once you've been changed, once you've been healed, is when you're converted, you can strengthen the brethren. I can tell you he's a healer. I can tell you he's a changer. He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I can tell you I'm a new man. I don't say and do all the things I used to do anymore. So there's hope. Once he's done that for you, you can give somebody hope. And once you've been converted, you can strengthen the brethren. I don't matter what you're going through, remember God will forgive you for everything except for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. But you've got to repent to get forgiven. You've got to repent. Because when you sin against who? God. So if you sin against God, you have to repent. Now, he's a loving God. But if we don't repent, we will what? Perish. We've got to repent. And he will show you the things that you need to repent of. And when God shows you something in your word that you need to repent of, repent. Because it's against God. Now, how can God do you any favor if you're fighting against him? God said, forgive. No, God, I ain't going to forgive you. He stopped me. He did this to me. Look what he did to Jesus. I always relate. Look what they did to Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Somebody does something, I'm going to get them back. What? Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, to him I will repay. Let God deal with that person. Don't you try to deal with that person, because you can get all kinds of strife and bitterness and hatred, then you'll be separated from God. I ain't going to forgive them. God said, if you don't forgive them, I won't forgive you. That scared me. If I don't forgive them, God will not forgive me, no matter what they've done. Forgive. Ask him to help you to forgive. I shared with you all how sick I was on nitroglycerin. Asked God why I was sick. See, I was preaching by his stripes I'm healing. I was sick. I was lying in the pulpit. But when I asked God to tell me why I was sick, he said, when you forgive your wife from your heart, I'll heal you. Oh, forgive my wife? You don't know what she did. She done this and she done this. Jesus, is that between me and her? Are you going to forgive her? Lord, I don't know how to forgive her. Please help me to forgive her. Because if I didn't forgive her from my heart, God would not forgive me. That's serious, isn't it? I don't care what you do to me. I want to forgive you. Can you do something? Jesus said, if you do to the least of my little ones, you've done it unto who? When you belong to Jesus, they ain't really hurting you. No, they're fighting. No, they're attacking. They're attacking the Jesus in you. Don't want you to get discouraged and begin to doubt. Don't you doubt. Don't get discouraged. Be encouraged. He's a God that doesn't fail. So we've got to look. Lord, why don't I have my healing? Tell me. He says in the Bible, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. He'll tell you. Why I got this problem, he'll tell you. And then all you got to do is be willing to ask for his help and to be willing to do whatever he tells you to do. And you get what his word says. It's time to believe. Amen? Now, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every sin has to be repented of. Now, I like the scripture we read here the other day. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. See, God is sending his word to so we can get in a position where we can get what his word says and keep what his word says. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knows if you belong to him. The Lord knows if you belong to him. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. Turn away. What's iniquity? My way, what I think, what I feel. I got to depart from my way and be willing to do it what? His way. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of his death, eternal separation from God. I'm not going to be separated from God. I ain't going to hell for nobody. Jesus has a mansion for me, and I'm going to hold on to my little ways and go to the lake of fire forever? No way. Let my way go for what? His ways. I don't understand his ways. It's higher than my ways. His thoughts high, but it's the best way. And if we humble ourselves, he will help us to do it. And it says, so we got to turn from our iniquity. Here are some things he tells us. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, for follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord, out of a what? A pure heart. That's why I like Psalm 51. He says, create within me a pure heart. Clean heart, brother. And renew the right spirit that's in me. And tell you verse 23, foolish and unlearned question, avoid the gender strife. Don't get in all these people trying to make you answer all kind of thing. Leave it alone. Be gentle, strive, teach, and be patient. But I like what it says in verse 25, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. Wait a minute. That means I'm fighting against myself. I'm opposing myself. I'm fighting against myself. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the what? Truth. The truth. So in other words, if God were to say I'm wrong, guess what? I'm wrong. Lord, I'm wrong. God, please forgive me against thee, and then only have I sinned, and committed this evil in thy sight, Psalm 51. He showed me I was wrong. So what I'm going to say? Oh, God, you don't understand. No. You don't want to hear that. I'm wrong. You're right. Forgive me. I didn't understand. Lord, so now you're humbling yourself. Would you please forgive me, Lord? I forgive you. But see, God, when you say you forgive him, he said, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. He watches you to see, did you take any action to change? He see if you take any action to change. If you are godly sorry for a person you sinned against who can help you, you ought to take some steps to change, to prove. Read my Bible more, pray more, spend more time with him, whatever it takes to prove. Love him more. I'm changing, Lord. He that began a good work in you will continue to return to Jesus Christ, but I keep doing things to help me to change. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. Psalm 119 verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. Lord, I did that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm going to read my Bible more, Lord. I'm going to make time for you. And God sees that. Then God began to show you more of his love. You realize how merciful he's been to you all these years. He said, oh my God, all these years I was sinning against you, I didn't know. But God says, I was merciful because you didn't need to know the truth. But if you, since you hunger and thirst after righteousness, I will send the truth. Now, when you get the truth, are you willing to do the truth? Or are you just going to be a hearer and not a doer? Then you have to deceive your own self. When he sends the truth, God, I've been wrong all these years. Woo! Lord, how you watched over me. Lord, how you protected me. Lord, how you kept the enemy from destroying me. Psalm 41, verse 11. I know that thou favorest me because the enemy didn't triumph over me. Lord, I thank you. God, I praise you. Begin to thank him, begin to praise him. But now he's been merciful and he sent the truth. Because God will not accept repentance unless you acknowledge the truth. The truth that I was wrong and God is what? Right. If you say, oh, God, oh, God said, no, you were wrong. Did you do that? Yes, yes, I did. Were you wrong? Yes, Lord, I was wrong. I repent, Lord. Now, God, help me to change. That's what he wants to see. A broken and contrite spirit, God will not refuse. Now, you will not taste of God's goodness until you do that. You will not taste God's goodness until you do that. And you know, sometimes preaching the truth, not easy. But like you said earlier, you'll be hated just for preaching the truth. But you should know the truth, and the truth should make you what? If you choose to be free. Don't you want to be free? From the stress, the thing that's bothering your mind, don't you want to be free? My Lord, whom the Son set free is free indeed. But if you don't help prove that he is true, you'll not be free. Whatever God tell me I'm doing wrong, guess what? I ain't fussing with God. I ain't arguing with God. I'm wrong. Now, God will forgive us for any sin that we have done and repent of. And I was reading this Bible. I'm always reading it. You're always giving me something new. And this is an area that people, that many people fight against. I'm going to tell it like you tell me. It's an area that a lot of people fight against. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. See, I've preached this. I want you to be free. I want you to enjoy the Lord. Because I enjoy him. God knows I do. I enjoy him more every day. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Lord Jesus. And it tells you the things that we were part of before, but how we get cleansed and how we get into the kingdom of God. And let's be going to read this here. Verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of himself with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, you call it party lovers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. and such were some of you, but you are washed. When you come to him, you were cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. You are sanctified. You are set apart to serve him. And now you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You are now justified because you repented. You repented. You repented. Now God clean you up. You're justified. He's forgiven you. He's cleansed you from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. Don't care what nobody says, you and God, we're all right. That's what mad men, God, you might think, I remember you done that 10 years ago. I remember you done that last week. That was last week. When I repent of my sin, do it right, God, so he will cast my sin in the sea of forgiveness, and he will remember them what? No, God don't remember them. I'm fine. You can remember all you want. But in the end, I got to face God and Jesus. Amen? That's what matters to me. Now, here's one thing that God was kind of hard for a lot of people. And it's got to be talked about. And what got me when I went to Revelation, chapter 9. First, before we go there, let's go to Psalm 32, 1. Psalm 32, 1. Psalm 32, 1. We're going to win. Amen? We're going to magnify and glorify the name of God. We're going to be overcomers. We're going to win. We're going to be blessed. We're going to be wealthy. We're going to be healthy and all the good stuff that God's word says. We're going to have it all because we are going to please God. Psalm 32, 1. Man, we pray the Lord make his enemy be at peace with him. 32, 1, what it says. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and whose spirit is no guile, no deceit. God, when you do that, you're blessed. When you confess and forsake it and repent, your sin is now covered. It's covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my crime. Question to the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. I got to confess it. I got to confess it. I can't cover it up. It says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sin shall not what? So if I know I did it, or if God show me I did it, I ain't going to try to cover it. I'm going to repent of it. I'm going to confess it to him. So when the devil come, he don't see that sin no more. Remember the scripture says, it's not I that sin, but the sin that dwelleth what? In me. Romans 7:17. If you have not repented of a sin, if you not confess it, that sin is still in you. And the devil come and he looks back. He said, he did not repent of that sin. That sin is still there. And you go along for a while, and eventually you go back and do the sin again. Oh, wait a minute, let me go back to that. I moved away from kind of quick. You will go back to it again. See, I'm learning. Wait a minute, Lord. We got to truly repent. And if we go back here to, I was just there, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Go back, I had to stay there. Chapter 2, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. We've got to make sure we get rid of it. Where when he comes, he don't see it no more, and he can't use you no more. You said, how did I fall back in that sin? You didn't really repent of it. It was still there. Now, and it says here, verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Until you repent, the devil takes you captive at his will. Until I repent, the devil says, you're telling you, come on. You can do it tonight. No, it's still in you. Didn't repent. God said, he didn't repent. You got to acknowledge that you were wrong. You got to repent. And then when you repent, I would cast, I'll fix everything up. I will fix everything. And then when the devil comes, he don't see that in you, and he can't use it no more. But until you repent, the devil could stay away for a while. He come back and see, did that person repent? Oh, and you go for a while, and you go right back to doing it. But when you repent, he casts the sea of forgiveness. He covered it with the blood. The devil can't find it no more. Amen? Amen. Here's one of the hardest things. I found out, God was talking to me. I said, Lord, but I'm a priest of truth because I want to help you. I want you to go to heaven. Don't you want to go to heaven? I want you to be ready when Jesus comes. I want you to be ready when Jesus comes. I think it's Revelation chapter 9. My Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, look here. If we read a little bit, chapter 9, verse 18. This is for God dealing with some things. I believe this is the tribulation time. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouth, for the power was in their mouth and in their tails. For these tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Now, all these things would happen to men. And this is what happened here. Verse 20, and the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, didn't die, yet repented not of the work of their hands. He said, all this stuff happened. People didn't repent. Wow. What would it take? That they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Here's verse 21 that hit me. Neither repented they of their what? Murderers, nor of the sorceries, witchcraft, and all that stuff people were doing. They didn't repent. Huh? Nor of their what? Fornication. Mm. No, of the thefts. I said, what? Now, how can that happen? When God showed me I had fornicated, guess what? I repented. I didn't fuss with God. I repented. Now, before, you couldn't tell me because I was stubborn. But see, I realized the Bible tells me the Bible is not for fornication, but for who? The Lord. And I realized when I was doing that, the Lord wasn't using me. So I what? I repented. Some people say, well, here's how it can happen. We've been taught something. I thank God for Galatians 5:19. When we say we're boyfriend and girlfriend, we hug and we kiss. I've done it. And I didn't realize that that was what? Lasciviousness. So I was in sin. I was in the devil territory. Didn't know it. And if we're not careful, we all be honest, we end up having sex. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. So, I repented. I didn't know that. I didn't understand that. And here's what happened. We meet, your boyfriend and girlfriend. We hug and kiss. We don't fornicate. And some of you do. But we never repented of the sin that we did, and we go right into the marriage and says, okay. No, it's not okay. You didn't repent. That's why there should be a period where you bring forth fruit of repentance. You repent, you ain't doing it no more. You prove it. Because, well, we went together two years and we went in and got married, so it's forgiven. No, you didn't repent. So it's still there. And that's why there's so many problems in marriage. Sexually. Because we didn't repent of that sin. And the devil knows they're there. So until we repent, is what? Still there. Until we repent, it is still there. I said, Lord. See, the thing is this. If we be honest God never intended for us to have sex before marriage. Said to avoid fornication, let every man have his own what? And every woman own what? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When I saw I was wrong, I said, God, I repent. Please forgive me, Lord. And he didn't show that to me until many years later. But when I did, I repented. Because I didn't want that between me and my God. I didn't want nothing between me and my God. I wanted to make sure that everything was all right between me and God. It may not be all right between me and other people, but as long as the things are okay between me and God, I'm okay. And that's what matters. Sometimes you never have peace with some people because some people don't want to change. Some people don't want to change. And it's important to change. But here's what just happened. Let's go to Isaiah 59, verse 2. We win when we let God be true. Thank you, Lord. We win when we let God be true. He says here, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he what? Will not hear. So I got to make sure there's nothing between me and my God, that when I call on him, he hears me. You show me I'm wrong? I'm wrong. God's right. I'm wrong. God's right. I don't want nothing between me and God. Nothing between me and God. And see, the thing is, why? There's something God got for us. Something God got for us that we need. We all need this. Now, go to Acts 19, verse 2. We need this. Don't let anybody put you down. You confess and get what you need to be. Acts 19, verse 2. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto John baptism. And he tell them, John baptized you with the baptism of repentance. That's what he did. And they should believe on Jesus because there was another baptism. And when they said this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. They were baptized in the name of the Lord. And Acts 2:38 also tells us, repent and be baptized and you shall receive what? The Holy Ghost. It says, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the what? The Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. So when we repent, the baptism he's talking about is get baptized into Christ. Now once you're baptized into Christ and doing what's pleasing in his sight, Acts 5:32, God will what? Give the Holy Ghost to those who what? Obey him. So if I don't have the Holy Ghost, anything God has shown me to repent of, I repent of it. But before you get the Holy Ghost, you have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit pray through you, the will of God. And as you do the will of God, eventually, and keep doing it, the Holy Spirit will baptize you into who? Christ. That's the baptism we need. Now, did we do it? No. The Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26, pray through us the will of God. That's why it's important to pray every day. Because why? When we pray the will of God every day, what will we do? We will do the will of God every day. We ain't going to and fro. Then when we're doing the will of God every day, the Holy Spirit knows that because he's the one praying through you. He will baptize you into Christ. Now you're in the body of Christ. You're a new person. Say all the time, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I didn't know that. God taught me this. A lot of people didn't know that the Spirit. Remember that morning Terry played that song? You provide the sacrifice. I provide the Spirit. You provide the sacrifice. The sacrifice is to get on your knees and believe that the Holy Spirit can pray through you. That's the sacrifice. And then as you do that, you're doing God's will every day. And now you're baptized in the body of Christ. You are a new person. Oh, my Lord. Then you stay a new person, you do it, then God gives you the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. He's the comforter. We need him. That's why Jesus said, if I don't go away, he will not come. We need the Holy Ghost. And why we need the Holy Ghost, it tells us in Jude that the Holy Ghost, later on, we pray, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping you in the love of who? Of God. So if we're not doing that, we're not loving God consistently. We're back and forth, we're back and forth, we're to and fro. It takes the Holy Ghost to pray through you, to keep you in the love of God. That's in Jude, I think verse 20. We need him. That's why Jesus went away. We got to do what the Bible says. We can have what the Bible says. That's, we've done wrong, he will forgive you. But you got to repent. Now, and it says when you really repent, when you really repent, you got to go to Acts 3:19. Repent, ye therefore, and be what? Converted. Change. When you truly repent, God will change you. That you what? Maybe what? Blotted out. And then come the time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Oh my God. God said, you have repented. Now my presence will go with you. He said to Moses, I'm not going with you, but my presence will go with you. To all the glory of his presence. My Lord, his presence will be with you no matter where you are. You can be in the car, no matter what you're going through. His presence is with you, and there come a time of refreshing. Yea, do I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'd fear no evil, thou art what? With me. See, his presence is not with us until we repent. We have his peace. We have his love. We have his joy. We have the thing that money can't buy. So we have repented, and we change. And remember, he that began a good work in you will continue until the return of what? Jesus Christ. He's doing the work in me. As I keep yielding, he's working out everything in me. That's not like him. And then it says in Acts 3:19, become a body that's filled and flooded with God himself. His word is in me. His word, his word, his word. Can I put it in me? I read it. And I get to the point back in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's my reasonable service. Romans 12, 2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you can prove what is the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God. God wanted me to live holy. Holiness without, no man should see the Lord. God wanted me to live a life that's pleasing in his sight. God wanted us to be a light in this world and people are hurting. God wants us to be a light that Jesus is real. Because why? He lives in me. He lives in you. And you live in him. You live in him. He's in God. You're a winner. So go to God. Say, Lord, is there anything I need to repent of? And don't let nobody put you down because what? You know, some of us, I would like that too. Amen? I'm trying to share with you what I did. That's why me and Jesus be close. You come at me, know how I run to? Jesus. Because I believe Psalm 35, verse 1, plead my cause, O Lord. Strive with those that strive with me. Fight against those that fight against me. I got time to fight against you. And let God fight against you. Because if we don't love Jesus, that was a revelation to me. Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep my what? So whatever he said is his commandments, not grievous. I said, Lord, help me to keep your commandment. If you break it, it's all right. He'll forgive you. Keep going to him. Keep going to him. Don't quit. Don't quit on Jesus. Keep believing his word. Stand on his word. He will bring it to pass. And then I want to say this to just encourage you. I ain't putting no feather in my cap. I'm going to give him God the glory. I went in the arm with a bad back. Excruciating pain. I hurt my back. I never told them nothing back in 1963. They would have did some surgery in my back and kicked me out of the army and give me a check. I used to lay in my bed at night, cry myself to sleep, top bunk, get up there, back in old arm, and then didn't play. And I'd turn the pillow over, and I'd fall asleep. Jump out of bed in the morning, that pain went through. Oh, Lord, I had pain, but I kept saying, Lord, heal my back. Lord, heal my back. After about 2.5 years, I went outside. That will tell me. And I did the bend and reach. There was no pain. To this day, my back is healed. There ain't nothing that God cannot do. We just got to believe. So repentance is the problem. And when I saw in Revelation that all these folks were getting killed and all the different things, people would not repent of the sorceries. And when I saw that they would not repent of the what? Fornication. I said, oh, my God. The Bible tells us that God destroyed 23,000 fornicators in how many days? One day. But now God is merciful. He's merciful. He's bringing the truth. He said, I want you to repent. I don't want to destroy you. I want you to come and live with me in my house, in the mansion that Jesus has prepared for you. Jesus, you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many what? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come and I receive you. I believe that. Woo! I don't care what house you build on this earth. Ain't nothing going to compare to the mansion that Jesus had prepared for you that love him. Can you imagine having your own mansion? Can you imagine that? It's prepared for us that love him. It's prepared for us that repent and admit, God, I'm wrong and you're right. That's all. And everything changes for you. Even to this day, if anything hit my body, the Lord, what am I doing not pleasing your sight? Because you made a promise. No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. Don't get in fear out here of man. Stay in faith of God. Amen? Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. If you go in some place, tell you to put on a mask, put on a mask. Don't get stubborn. Don't go, I ain't putting on no mask. No, no, no. Because there's some people in fear, and they think you're hurting them. So if they're in fear, respect that. Please stay in faith. Amen? Amen. I go in people's houses, put on your mask. Got on my mask. But when I'm home, do I put on a mask? No. When I'm out here, do I put on a mask? Not in the church here. Because people here, in faith. No plague shall come nigh my what? I believe that. And if it comes, I'm going to God. I say, God, what did I do? Not what somebody else did. What did who do? Between me and my God. It's between me and my God. We serve a good God. Amen? This message is not to condemn you, it's to encourage you. If you're not where you need to be, or not where you want to be, and God show you something that you need to repent of it, guess what? That's it. And then do what you need to do to change. So God can see that you've changed, and there'll become a time of refreshing. That remember the scripture says, if they repent, then you what? Forgive them. And God cannot forgive you and tell you what? Repent. Because the sin was actually committed against them. That's why when you read that scripture this morning, they're going to hate you. That's all right. When they hate you, the more they hate you, and you love God, you're going to be all right. Amen? Amen. No matter that the whole world hates you, don't you hate God. Don't you hate God's ways. Love God's ways. Love God's ways. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. If you hate God's ways, curses come. You love God's ways, blessings come. Love his ways. It may not seem right. I can go through this. Go through whatever you got to go through. Until you fall in love with Jesus. And God will show you anything you've done wrong. Just repent. He'll forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Cast your sin and see your forgiveness. Won't remember them no more. And he will bless you. Amen? Amen. He will bless you according to 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish you above all things that you prosper and be in what? Health. As your soul prosper. I confess to scriptures all the time. But Lord, let my soul continue to prosper in the word and stay in health. And he will bless you spiritually, physically, and what? Financially. He will bless you. God wants to bless his people. He says in the Bible, he's a blessing will run after you and do what? Overtake you. I want that. But the first blessing is a spiritual relationship. I want that relationship. He's going to add the rest. He will add the rest, but he wants that relationship first. Amen? If you end with this one that says in Jude 20, and you get to the point, I want you get to this point right here, and I make sure this happens. Once you have the Holy Ghost, it says in verse 24 of Jude, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of God with exceeding joy, the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Because why? You kept praying that the Holy Ghost pray through you, kept you loving God no matter what you're going through. And you get to a place where you will not let nothing or no one separate you from the love of God. That's the best thing you can do, is fall in love with Jesus and keep on loving him. Stay in the word, stay in the truth, because you have to take heed. That's any time you can let it what? Stay with him. God will bless his people. God will make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath. You have an abundance. There'll be no lack. The blessing of the Lord make you truly rich. He add no sorrow with it. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. God will not bless you with making $1 million and you die. No, you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. You can be healthy to enjoy it. But if there's one thing we didn't repent of, go to him. Let him tell you. I'm not judging you. I'm just reading that scripture. When it says, when they saw all that stuff happen and people didn't repent, because, I don't know why. You show me something happening, I repent in a minute. Repent. Let God change you to God. Is there anything between me and you? And let him tell you, then fix it. Amen? Let him, it's easy. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is what? Go to him, says God, what about that not pleasing your sight? Come, let's reason together. Well, Jim, you did this. And oh, God, I'm sorry. I didn't know. It's all right. It's all right, amen? Don't let nobody put you down, because why? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of who? Amen. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is willing to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus.